Continuing with the subject of Qalb-e Saleem, today I'd like to look at another aspect. See, the Qalb needs energy. And I believe very strongly that there are three primary energy sources for the Qalb, for the heart. The first, I believe, is the Quran. And we've talked about it and we will continue talking about it. The second, I believe, is Salah or Namaz. And both these, I know as a child, that regardless of whether I understood them or I didn't, whether I could be able to understand the depth of each one or not, it was only with reading the Quran and praying Salah that I would find peace in that special place inside me where nothing else could reach. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ra'd says, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innal qulub. The only way to find contentment in the hearts is through the remembrance of Allah. And the third thing that brought peace, that energized this soul, was being able to be with those who felt the same way as I did, who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who loved His Messenger and His Ahlul Bayt. And those were three things in my childhood and even today which energizes this qalb. Today I'd like to look at what I believe is the primary energy source for the qalb, and that is Salah or Namaz. We've looked at it many a time. I'd like to now look at it in detail, but today an overview, a look at the major parts of Salah and how they are supposed to help us connect with Him and ultimately lead to our reaching our full potential. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Successful indeed are the believers. Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Those who in their salah are submissive, who are humbled, who are aware of the all, if I can say, powerful, the all-encompassing presence of their Rabb. This is Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah number 23, Ayah 1 and 2. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, As-salatu umududdin. Salah is the pillar of religion. And we find the phrase, Aqimu salah wa atu zakah, establish salah, repeated in the Quran in so many places. And its energizing effect is absolutely unquestionable. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if salah is accepted, other deeds are accepted. If salah is rejected, other deeds are rejected. There was something there. Imam Muhammad Baqir al-Islam has said, when we teach ourselves or our children salah, we first teach its love. There is that connection that brings us so close to a divine energy. It's absolutely amazing. My father, when I was very young, when trying to explain to me what Salah was about and why I had to pray, would tell me, my child, in the morning, he only wants to ask you whether you had a good night. Did you have any nightmares that you'd like me to take away? Or any dreams that you'd like me to make come true? At Dhuhr, he's asking you how your day went. Any problems that need to be resolved before the day is over? At Asr, he says, I know you're tired. It's been a long day. Come, seek refuge with me. At Maghrib, as the day comes to an end, he says, what are your aspirations for tomorrow? Tell me. And at Isha, my father used to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you an opportunity to ask for safety in the night and to sleep enveloped in His love and His rahmah. The first thing that is required in salah is a presence of heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will not look at your faces, but He will look at your hearts. He said, two of my ummah stand for salah, and although the ruku and the sujood are the same, the difference is like that between the earth and the heavens because the lack of presence of heart. He tells his companion Abu Dharr, "Oh, Abu Dharr, 2 rakats of salah in contemplation are better than spending the whole night with an inattentive heart. How do I bring this about?" This Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Worship Allah as if you see Him. If you don't see Him, He sees you. Standing up, believing that you're being watched." My father used to tell me that imagine you're standing on a stage and there are millions of angels watching your every move and every thought. "Whenever you stand," he said, "just think, you're being watched." Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said, "Make your heart a qibla to your tongue. Don't move it except by a sign from the heart." One of the causes of inattention in salah is overeating. It's a wonderful piece of advice given by Hazrat Luqman to his son when he said, "Oh my son, when the stomach is full, your faculty of thinking goes to sleep, and your tongue of wisdom becomes dumb, and your limb fail to worship Allah." Always better to pray before you're going to go to eat. And if you feel really hungry, then have a small snack or a drink of water. See the difference these little things make. The timing of salah is also so important. You know, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said that whenever salah time approached, it was as though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had disconnected from them. Imam Ali al-Islam used to tremble when the set time for salah set in. And when he was asked why, he would say, "This is a trust which is offered to the heavens, the earth and the mountains, and they refuse to bear it." And the companions of Rasulullah were awesome. Look at the effect it had on them. They would go to Bilal as the time of salah or namaz approached, and they would say, "Bilal, hurry up, relieve us of this agony. Give the adhan because we want to access the shores of rahmah." Absolutely wonderful. You know, waiting to think this is the time when the doors are going to open. It's like queuing up for His rahmah. Absolutely amazing. If we can inspire within us this love of salah, we can never ever go wrong. As Quran says, "Inna salati tanha anil fahshai wal munkar," Surah Al-Anqabut. It is salah that will keep you away from bad thoughts, bad deeds, from evil. Inshallah, we will continue with this overview for a few days and then go into each aspect of salah in greater detail.